What would happen if we had the boldness and the presence to lean into our edges and grow from our core? See, in a world that's shaped by yesterday, constantly chasing into tomorrow, I'm inviting you into a conversation where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. This is the Supernova Podcast, and I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. Philip, welcome to the Supernova Podcast. It is great to have you here again, though for many people it's going to be unofficially your first time.
Lena, thank you. It's nice to be here. And I'm just loving this connection across thousands of miles and the same time zone, which is the beauty of you being in South Africa and me being in Switzerland.
Absolutely, except we just don't have our weather in sync. There's something that's always going to be asynchronous, isn't there? Well, I'm really excited about this conversation. And I know we've been chatting offline about this topic of agile. And I'm still sitting with that feeling because the WebEx conference is happening right now. And there's still this conversation of how to make agile human. And my experience that I shared it when we were talking about this offline was that so many agile coaches came onto a platform like WebEx, which is great and has a lot of tools. And they realized that they weren't schooled in the human elements. They were schooled in a lot of tools, how to run meetings, all the different Kanban structures, but they didn't really feel that they had the psychological or coaching background. And I'm kind of curious because when I see you, you hold agile and you embody agile so beautifully. And I'm curious what the world is missing in this process.
What a fun question to start with, Len. Thank you. And look, WebEx is on. You know, they do some great work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I heard you use the word kind of process and methods, and I already felt myself tensing up and reacting to that.
Yeah.
And my kind of philosophy, and I haven't got the language right, but my philosophy is organizations have two components. The first component is people, and the second component is process. People and process. Or you can kind of overlay on top of that, people is all about mindset and process is all about method.
Mm-hmm.
So people and process or mindset and method, it's similar. And my observation from years of making mistakes has been that interventions tend to focus on the methods and the process and not on the people. Mm-hmm. And then what happens now in, you know, just a quick look at some job adverts today, there are hundreds of job adverts in Europe for agile coaches. And if you put those two words together, they are two of the most misunderstood words in the industry. Agile is what do we mean? And coaching, what do we mean? And actually, I find to your WebEx thing that actually agile is people mean processes and methods.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaching is about the mindset. So I'm just want to hold that for a moment. Before we dig deeper, does that resonate with you?
Absolutely, it does. It already brings up another question which I've just parked, and we'll see if it comes back around. But absolutely.
All right. So let me just dig a little bit deeper for a moment. Talk about process and methods. Actually, I've got on my other screen in front of me an advert that's just popped up for safe agile. Scaled agile frameworks. And I'm seeing a lot of organizations, a lot of consultants, a lot of people looking to, I'm going to use the word buy, but looking to buy a solution that's method-centric. People come in with a process, they come in with a method, they come in with something tangible. You know, there's a long list of buzzwords. It might be, you know, sprints and scrums and Kanbans, and then you have agile consultants, and then you get the big agencies coming in with a solution, and it's very solution focused. And
I hear you say that. I'm kind of feeling into that part in me that's noticing this VUCA world around us. There is so much chaos, there is so much disruption. Nothing's an absolute certain. And maybe that quest for certainty is what makes us rely on methodology above all else, rather than inquisitive inquiry into what is and what's rising.
Yeah. So I think I completely understand the kind of move or desire or drive to action. You know, you can buy a product, you can buy a process, you can train people in stuff, you can tick a box. It's task centric. But in all of my experience, it's actually around the human side. It's the people side. It's the mindset side that actually makes these things be successful or not. And in a way, I'm just looking visually on the right hand side, the mindset, the methodology, the process. You can buy that. You can tick it off the list. You can do it. The hard work is actually the people side, the human centric piece. You know, all of that beautiful work from Frederic Laloux, reinventing organizations, all of the work that you and I do together, all of the work with Till around the world, it's about the human side. And the truth is, that's the difficult bit. It's hard work. It requires emotion. It requires energy. It requires input. That's the hard stuff. In the Bill Anderson interview, Bill Anderson is the chief executive of Roche, and he was in a discussion that's been online with Gary Hamel from Humanocracy. And Bill said, look, this is the hardest thing we have ever done. You know, we're good at stuff, we're good at processes, we're good at doing things. The hard stuff is the thinking and the emotion and the engagement about the people and behavioral change. Actually, that's the calling I have to the part of work. It's how do we help leaders? How do we help teams? How do we help businesses in the human side of the agile change? And it's hard.
It is hard. And it's even interesting. I mean, Till is definitely the great place where we met, and I'm so grateful for it. But even there, I hear these conversations of, let's look at wholeness from the perspective of system design, and let's not look at doing the individual assessments and or the individual level. And I'm like, hold on. For me, wholeness is whole people, whole brands, whole teams, whole organizations. It's like an ecosystem of wholes. So where am I missing the wholeness if we're taking the human element out of it?
And I think that draws me back to at an individual human level. Actually, for me, the starting place of all of these things is an individual taking an ownership and increasing an awareness of what's going on for them. You know, what am I bringing into an organizational system? What are my beliefs? What are my barriers? What are my behaviors that might be limiting an organizational to evolve and move? And, you know, one great tool is the leadership circle profile. You know, and that's a great investment in helping individual leaders to understand where they are in a system. You know, it uses the feedback, it uses the survey, but it starts with a circle with, as a leader, with yourself at the center to understand what's happening for you. Where are you triggered into being reactive? Or where can you step forward into a creative space? And how can you use your superpowers? Or how can you be aware of your breaks? And it's all down to individual awareness and accountability and behavior at the beginning.
Absolutely, because it is that one person who's then being triggered and reacting and responding to the other. That's where the workflow breaks down, less in the actual system or tool. That's, as you said, is the easy fix. Like I'm literally, just before this call, I was going through one of the processes with my clients, and they're kind of like, our system's broken. And I could see that the way of collecting the different briefs and the different projects and the different tasks, it was all over the place. And that was a mechanistic issue.
Yeah.
But why was it left so long to have this conversation? That's the more interesting piece. That's where real breakdown is actually happening.
Yeah.
And is that what an agile coach focuses in on? I mean, where does an agile coach put their eye and bring out that observation?
Thank you. I'm only laughing because actually then the first question is actually, well, what is an agile coach?
Sure.
There is an agile school called IC Agile, and I teach on the agile team coaching course. And the first thing we do is we get all of the people on the course to write down and then share at the same time, what is an agile coach? And we have 12 people on a course, and we have 12 different definitions. And then in an organization, there might be dozens of different definitions of what it is. Mm. My starting point is actually there are five components to agile coaching. Mm. And anyone who is in this role, actually, I think needs to be consciously aware of what the five different components are, and then to use their superpowers to flex between them. Mm. And I'm just going to count them off and make sure I am counting to five. the first is actually the skill of coaching. Mm. You know, the whole process of coaching and supporting a team through a change. Coaching is a fundamental skill, and you need to be good at it. The next one is to be a facilitator. You know, you are helping a team through a journey, so you need to facilitate change, which is a distinct step from coaching. The third one, which I love, is a teacher. Mm. You know, you might have a subject matter expertise and you need to impart that to others, you know, about what it is. So teach. Mm. The fourth one, kind of up the scale, is be a mentor. Mm-hmm. An agile coach should have experience, should understand what's going on, and should be able to mentor. Now, a mentor is imparting your own knowledge rather than coaching, which is helping people find their own. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth one is further along that method scale, which is to be a consultant.
Okay.
You know, so you actually sometimes you actually need to say, I'm going to consult on this. Mm. I am going to tell you what I think. And the reason why I raised those five different skills, they're all related. They're all connected, they're all on a spectrum, but they're all different. Mm-hmm. And in my experience and through the teaching, an agile coach needs to have the awareness of what the system needs. There we are, that's sort of pro, and awareness of what the human system needs at that time, mm-hmm. and then to choose to wear and label that right hat.
Incredible. You know,
and it requires some very, very good human skills to have the awareness of a coach, agile coach, what you're bringing in and what the system needs and what the people need, and to say, right now, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to teach you. Is that okay? Well, now I'm going to be a mentor. In my advice, try this. Or contract to coach them through a situation.
I love that. And I think I remember saying this to you the last time, that it feels like it's the MBA of coaching, because on one level, there's always been this conversation that coaching is very separate from consulting, and they are two very, very different hats. But I love the emergent string that ties them both together, which is that facilitation and that mentorship and that training, the teacher piece. It really makes that transition feel a lot smoother coming through.
There is. And I'm just noticing or realizing, and actually having seen all these jobs for agile coaches in industry, you know, a lot of agile coaches in their own definition, but they come from a methodological school. Mm. I'm going to pick on Safe Agile again, because it's a well-known sure. one. But you know, I have observed a client recently where they've gone, you know, they've thrown themselves into Safe Agile as a methodology, and they're talking about release trains and Kanbans, et cetera. And it's their shiny new process. But I don't feel the people are owning it.
Yes.
I don't feel it's someone else's product. It's someone else's process. And in actual fact, they've had to rent Safe Agile coaches to come in to do it. So therefore someone is coming in to do it to them or to you. Mm. And there isn't a holistic organic ownership of what's going on. And the problem, of course, is when those people leave, the idea is there's a knowledge transfer, but at a very basic human level, and I'm going to transition to another metaphor now, I'm seeing a bit like immunology, about immunity to change. And that's, of course, the title of a great work by Robert Keegan and Lisa Leahy. But let's just think about it from a human perspective. Whenever you get a stimulus, you get a response. Mm-hmm. And if the stimulus is a Safe Agile train leaving a station, that's a stimulus. It's or a consultant coming in with a new model, a new process, a new method, that's a stimulus. And to use the immune metaphor, people have antibodies. Mm. People might have positive antibodies, and that's great. And they might have negative antibodies, and that's not great. And some antibodies you can see and test for and notice, and some you never know they exist. Mm-hmm. Just at a human level, there might be negative antibodies expressed that you will never notice or never see on the surface. Mm. And you wonder why your project is not working.
Yes.
There is resistance. There is immunity. Mm. There are negative antibodies. And that is why projects don't work. And really the role of a coach in this time is to diagnose and understand what is going on. And that's it's a very important process, or else you're going to have resistance and things won't work.
Absolutely. And there's the other part of what you said earlier, which actually I felt moved through my system, because there was like an embodiment that's often missing.
Yeah.
You get the knowledge transfer, but then you leave and it's like, it's just a thing. It's just another tab on my window, a thing to do, a thing to check off of, but it's not integrated. It's not embodied. And it feels like that's one of the roles that agile coaches and coaches can lean into and bring into organizations and teams. Or at least I'd love to see that happen. I'm trying.
Lena, we're all trying. We're all trying. And there is no there is no quick fix. There is not a step 1, 2, 3. There are starting steps, and those starting steps are about having coaching skills and stopping and pausing and thinking, having time to think, having time to reflect, being curious, noticing what's going on, wondering about the system, wondering about your colleagues, being authentic, being vulnerable, being open, moving away from a hierarchy.
I'm curious about the hats, because we all wear so many hats. Even the non-coaches amongst us wear these different hats, and we all want to give advice. We all want to fix a situation that we don't quite know, because we want to regulate our own sense of discomfort in those kinds of spaces. Is there value in naming the hat or not? I'm just curious.
I'm a believer in noticing as much as possible and then naming it. For a leader to say, this is difficult. Well, I know I am finding this difficult, or I am feeling anxious about this, or I am not sure, or playing with the metaphor, I'm feeling antibodies to this, who else is? I think that's a very large part to open up a deeper discussion about what is going on at the human system.
Feels like it shifts us out of being in the method and the Socratic practice of whatever that hat is, the doing, and allows me to observe me in that process, and the process as it unfolds, or the world or the ecosystem around me, and my interaction and resistance to it.
That's interesting. You're making me think about ownership.
Mm.
If you buy a process, or an external consultant comes in with an agile methodology, they own the process, they own the machine, they own the slide deck, the template, the language, the glossary. Whereas actually, for things to be changing sustainably in an organization, the individuals in the organization need to own it. And actually, then you're right, it needs to move from a rational understanding of it to a personal embodied ownership of it. I am accountable, I am responsible, I am feeling anxious, I am enjoying this. It's that I it's the feeling and owning it. And that is when that happens, the gravity is with the people in the team to own the outcome, rather than the gravity being with an external vendor.
Absolutely.
Or an external model that will come and go.
Because one of the five things that you mentioned in that, the pillars, can I call them the pillars of Agile?
Yep.
Is there's no expert being labeled there, where the kind of scenario that you played out is somebody comes in, they own the deck, they're coming in as the expert in that space. It's amazing what happens when that expert hat gets dropped. And everybody gets to come into co-ownership and co-creation.
Yeah. That's interesting. expert kind of sounds finite. There is, I want to recognize there is expertise.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean I am the expert.
Hmm.
You know, so actually part of being a mentor is, I have some expertise, and from gained from other areas, but I don't want to pretend I'm the expert. And, an expert is what you have people pretending to be in a hierarchical command and control organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are paid and incentivized to look like they are experts, or to pretend they're experts, or to feel like they're experts.
Oh, yeah.
And we know full well that is not sustainable in the current life.
Definitely so. And I think the other part that I'm hearing or feeling and sitting with is this piece that is evolving, kind of coming back to the uncertainty, that VUCA state, where agility is, or being in a state of equilibrium, or kind of looking at all of those different places, it's a way of dancing with what's evolving.
Yeah.
And I'm most probably languaging it really poorly in this moment. I'm running with an idea. So I'm curious what you would define just the word agile as.
I am actually moving away from moving the word agile.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, I think it triggers just lots of different things for different people. I don't think agile is a very good word.
Mm. What is a good word?
What we're really talking about is what we've always talked about, which is evolution, change, transformation.
Yeah.
All we're really doing is helping a team or a business or a leader move from a current state to a new future state.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that takes away the pressure of agile and selling an agile product. You know, we're just evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, let's empower teams to make a sustainable, significant evolutionary step.
Hmm.
If that step means moving away from a rigid command and control hierarchy to a faster, smarter, more efficient, more intelligent way of working, if we want to call that agile, great. But let's actually define what success is, and let's mm-hmm. focus on how we're going to get there. So ironically, I try not to use the word agile.
And I love that. I absolutely love that. I think there's so much value. It's a placeholder word. There's obviously, it's got its place and its play, but that transformative piece is incredible. Actually, want to rephrase that, go, and that transformative piece is incredible. Just noticing my butt slipped there.
I'm smiling. I have a bit of fun with this. Agile. I live in, I actually live in France.
Mm.
Agile actually means clay. clay, it means clay, a heavy, solid thing that might be a little bit movable, but not much.
Really? Wow.
My neighbors my neighbors have seen that I work in agile, in clay, and they're just completely confused as to what I do. So I try not to use the word agile in English or agile in French, really. We're in human-centered change, and we're helping businesses, teams and leaders to be more awesome. So let's do that.
Absolutely. And I love the freedom that brings up, because maybe it is a Kanban board for you. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is a stand-up meeting for you. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's not. It's much more individualized.
Yeah. And celebrate that, work out the tools and methods that you need to support you. And then let's go heavy on that.
Mm.
Let's not be driven by someone's told us we have to have a stand-up meeting every morning and have a Kanban board and have a sprint and a scrum and no, start with the human side of what teams need to move and to evolve, and then find the right supportive structures to allow you to do that better.
So I'm curious, because I'm watching the time and I know we could go on forever, and I want to acknowledge that you are one busy person as well. I'm curious if there's a question that you would want to bring in here to open up that inquiry to all the listeners for themselves.
And this is unrehearsed and unscripted. So if I'm allowed two questions,
go for it.
It would be, to actually encourage, as a moment of reflection, all clients, all leaders, to ask themselves two questions. You know, in their organization at this point, the first question is, what do they need more of? And then the second question is, what's holding them back? Because that allows them to start thinking about the human side of the business, not the process side.
I love that. Beautiful.
It is a big topic, Lena, isn't it?
It is a big topic. It's an incredibly big topic.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, I'm seeing a lot of clients and a lot of opportunity needing some more time to think about this, actually.
Definitely.
You know, it's pause, it's reflect, it's think, it's ask yourselves those questions. Where are we going? What will help us? What would success look like? What's holding us back? What are we missing? What are the barriers? And the answer, really, my plea is, don't jump to an agile method solution. You know, methodological solutions have never served as well. Let's understand the human system and the individual leadership perspective first. And that's where our competitive advantage is. It's in better thinking with better people. It's not better stuff and processes.
One of the things I love to do in that space is to not just go with the first answer that comes up, but to scratch a little bit deeper, like what's behind that? Like what's making that real? What's making that true? Because otherwise I could answer it at a methodological level and be like, this is broken, that is broken, don't have enough resources here and there. But what's the deeper cause behind that effect? Looking forward to more of these play dates with you. There's, as you said, there's so much to discuss. There's absolutely so much to discuss. And yet so much to sit in the silence as well.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lena. Thank you. Well, it's been lovely speaking, as always. Thought-provoking. I've got lots of thought bubbles that you can't see on a podcast. That doesn't translate visually very well. But I have lots of thought bubbles that actually I'm going to think about as I take the dog for a walk now.
Oh, beautiful. And is there anything in closing, any links or any shout-outs that you want to send? This is your space to do that.
Lena, thank you. No, all is good.
Great.
Some of this thinking is on our Hive Logic website. But really, I encourage people to take some time to think about what we've been talking about.
Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you so much.